So good to have you in the house of God today. How many ready to receive something from God? Amen. And Jesus said that blessed are those who are not offended by me. Do you remember that? Then at another time, he said they were walking away, and he asked his apostles, he said, do you guys want to go too? And they were walking away because they were saying, man, what you're saying is hard. And what he was saying some words. How many know God can say some things that might seem hard at first when we first hear it? Turn, if you have your Bibles, to Hosea. If you don't have your Bibles, we have it up right here on the screen. You can follow with us word for word. But I want you to see something, because what I want to talk to you today, we started last week, actually we started the week before, talking about faith. And it's part of ripe, it's part of expecting. God has spoken to us and said, how many believe that God still speaks to people? I believe that, because the Bible says God's same yesterday, today, and forever. But God has spoken to us in the leadership, in the congregation, and we hear him saying, you know what, to start to teach ripe. What's ripe stand for? Ripe stands for reading your Bible, you know what? I stands for what? Inviting. Thank you for your help. P stands for what?
Pray.
And E stands for what?
Expect.
I want to talk about expect today. I want to talk about faith today. And we looked at a verse, and Jesus speaks. He's hungry. How many have been running around and you're not paying attention? All of a sudden you recognize it's 4 o'clock and you haven't eaten all day. So how many ever gotten hungry at night? You know what I mean? How many know you shouldn't eat late at night? Amen. But how many get hungry? How many you do it anyway? Come on, be the truth. Tell the truth. So you're hungry. You know, you get up. You're like in your pajamas. You get out. You go to, you know what? You go to some place. You see the lights on. You kind of know that they're closed, but you're thinking, no way are they closed. You go through the drive-in, and you're like talking to Jack at Jack in the Box, and Jack's not talking back to you. Amen. Well, Jesus kind of had an experience like that. Obviously, he didn't have a car, but he sees a fig tree, sees it far off, and he's thinking, man, there's going to be some figs on that. So he goes up to the fig tree, and there's no figs, and then he says, nobody's going to eat of this tree anymore. And the next day, Peter and the apostles are around, and Peter's like, oh my goodness, look, the fig tree's dried up. And then he says something that's so incredible. Here's what he says. He says, let me tell you what, Peter. You have that same kind of power working inside you. This is this power, this supernatural power to have things. How many know Jesus didn't get out there with the hacksaw, chainsaw, didn't get some weed killer, amen, didn't go to Home Depot and put some weed killer. How many know none of that happened? No, this is supernatural. Everybody say this is supernatural. I want to ask you before we go too much farther, how many of you have something going on in your life and it's problematic in your life and you'd like that problem fixed? I'm just asking. Anybody in the room has some problems that need to be fixed? Now, as your hands are up, keep up your hands. Let me ask you this. Have you not tried to fix it already? Come on, somebody. See, here's what I'm saying. Guys, Christians, we got to get into the supernatural. It's time. It's time. It's time that we would stop walking in the natural, stop trying to figure it out, stop trying to come up with the solutions of our own problems, that we would go to the Word and let God tell us what the answer to the problem is. How many know God will tell us how to fix our problems? Okay. So I'm going to tell you what he says. Here's what he says. He says, Peter, I'm telling you what. You saw what I did? You can do it. And let me give you a bigger example. Let me kind of blow your mind right now. You know what I mean? Because let me tell you what. I spoke to that fig tree, but you, matter of fact, not only you, Peter, but anybody can do this. Assuredly, I say unto you that anyone who speaks to the mountain and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, it will be done to him exactly what he said. Now, you say, well, Pastor, okay, that's great. Why in the world did you go to Hosea? Here's why. Here's why I'm coming here first. Because I want to set a foundation. Because we've got to understand that Jesus has a way of doing things that makes absolutely no sense to us. And there has been, and I'm just telling you, it's only a fringe of Christianity, but it is a fringe, you know what I mean? And they'll sit there, and I'll hear them on the radio, and they'll talk about how crazy it is to speak to a mountain. Well, I'm telling you what, I don't believe that Jesus is crazy. I believe Jesus is crazy intelligent. That's what I believe about Jesus. Now, granted, it's not how you would do it, but you know what? That's what Christianity is about, getting it done the way God tells us to do it. Is that not right? You know, it's interesting to me because studying Noah is building an ark, you know what? And God tells him exactly how high, how wide, how tall. And the Navy spent hundreds and thousands of dollars. They did a study to figure out what are the dimensions of a vessel that would make it the most secure. It would be the most stable, that you can't capsize it. Capsize it? Is that right? And so they did a study. Guess what they found out? The same kind of dimensions exactly that God told Noah. Man, they could have saved a lot of money if they just opened up Genesis. Amen. 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 So here's what I'm saying. What I'm about to tell you is not going to make a lot of sense to your intellect. But let me remind you what the Bible says. God's ways are higher than your ways. That's why I ask you, you know what? Why haven't you fixed your problem already? You said you wanted it fixed. Here's how come. Because many of your problems are not fixable in the natural. Ooh. But they are fixable in the supernatural. So I'm setting this as a foundation because you need to understand to some extent, because when I get done, I guarantee you when I get done, this isn't going to ring true with anybody's intelligence. But I'm hoping that it rings true to somebody's intelligence. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. See, in other words, you in every aspect that you walk in, you need to listen to God and do the way that God says how to do it. Does this make sense? So let's look at it. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, some of you might not understood before you got in here how incredibly important it is for you to speak to your problems. But I guarantee you when you get done, and it won't take me very long, that you will understand what Jesus said about speaking to the mountain. But there's another group of people, and they could be us. And it's not that we don't know, but when we are told the truth, it doesn't make that much sense to us. So watch this. They're destroyed from a lack of knowledge, but then it gives detail because they have rejected the knowledge. They have rejected the knowledge. Now, in context, in what Hosea is really speaking to, he's really speaking to the priests who have figured out that they're smarter than God and they haven't really told the people what's going on. Okay, that will not have been said about hope. Because I'm going to tell you the truth today. My prayer for you is that you would receive the message that God has for you, and that even though it might not make a lot of sense, you would recognize God has a different way of doing things. And here's what the Bible says. If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. Everybody say, if. See, I pointed out to you last week, because we're talking a lot about believing. The door to the supernatural has two hinges on it. It's based on two hinges. One, you say, and number two, you believe. We'll look at that in a minute. But we saw it over and over again in the Word of God. We saw somebody who is blind. He gets Jesus makes a mud pie, throws it on his eye, and then Jesus says, you know what? He doesn't see after that. The mud doesn't drip off, and he goes, yay, I could see. That's not what happened. Then Jesus says, go wash 7 times. Another time, there's these men, they have leprosy, and God says, go and tell the priests, show the priests that you're clean. And the Bible says, and as they went, they were clean. Hello? Well, how many of us aren't going to believe what Jesus says because we're like, that don't make any sense? How many, think about this. How often did Noah have the opportunity to doubt God as he's building this boat? Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I want to say before we get started, because I already know where we're going with this. I already know. I'm going to tell you, so here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you exactly what Jesus said, that if you will speak to your mountain, be removed, then that very thing that you say is going to happen to you. Amen. That's what I'm going to say. And what I'm saying to you up front is you can do two things. You can either believe and receive and start activating that and seeing it and happening in your life, because what I'm telling you is that is true. Jesus said, right before he left, Jesus said that, and he talks about all these supernatural things happening in people's lives. But he prefaces it and he says, these things are going to happen, but they're only going to happen to those who believe. And we can be cynical and talk about, oh yeah, the power in the tongue, power in the tongue. I don't believe it. And as we get cynical and as we mock, I want to remind you of all the passages that I'm going to go to today. Won't take me very long, but all the passages I'm going to go to. And the one and the first one that we that I've already described to you, we're going to look at it, is Mark. Go ahead, go to it in the back. Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Look what it says. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says, it will be done. He will have whatever he what? Now listen, you can argue all you want, but you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with Jesus, because this is what Jesus said. And before he says this, because it's a lulu, he says, you know what? Assuredly I say to you. Assuredly. I'm telling you the truth, guys. And let me tell you what, it's not just for one, it's for whoever will say to the mountain. My first point is this, write this down, faith speaks. Everybody say, faith speaks. You know, it's so important that we would be obedient to do what God asks us to do. Again, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. John Wooden, who was arguably the most famous, most incredible coach ever, you know what? He was very particular of how you did things. So he would tell the people on his team, the basketball team, he'd say, "Here's where I want you to dress like." And so the freshmen were coming in. They don't know how to dress. They get the directions how to dress. And Bill Walton comes up. Bill Walton at that time was the most highly coveted high school basketball player ever. And UCLA recruited him, and John Wooden's the coach, and he comes in, and he's got the right shirt on, he's got the right sneakers on, he's got the right shorts on, but You know what? He was supposed to wear white socks. And he didn't have white socks. You know what kind of socks he had on? Some of you know if you've been around for the 70s. He had the socks that come up to here with the stripes, with the colored stripes. I don't even remember those socks. You're telling me how old you are. Okay, anyway. So he had those socks. And John Wooden said something to him. Here's what he said. He said, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. You know what? You got two choices. Either go back to the locker, put on the socks that I assigned you, and come back here and practice with us and be a Bruin. You know what? And, by the way, and don't ever wear those socks again, because those weren't what I told you to wear. Or just go back to the locker and never come back. Not negotiable. Can I tell you what? I'm telling you this. The word of God is true. Heaven and earth can pass away, but the word of God is not going to pass away. Jesus isn't changing his mind on this. So here's what we do. We either understand it and start speaking to our mountains, and we have the benefit of what God is saying, or we don't. Amen. Amen? Faith, everybody say faith speaks. Now, second point is this, because words are spiritual and the spiritual is more powerful than the natural. How many know the spiritual is more powerful than the natural? And what are words? Words are in the spirit realm. Jesus said it. He said, my words are spirit and my words are life. Remember when Jesus said that? Then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Look what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We don't have time, but we can turn to Genesis. Everything that was created, Jesus said, let there be light, and there was light. We see it over, this repetitiveness. He formed it, and then the New Testament confirms that's exactly what happened. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. See, we're not used to this realm. We're so used to the physical realm. And let me tell you what Satan's objective is. Satan's objective is for you not to believe or not to validate that there's power in your tongue. Satan wants you to think, oh, you can say whatever you want. That's craziness. That's new age. That's whatever. Whatever, however he disguises it, he wants you not to believe what Jesus said could happen to you if you will speak to the mountain. Assuredly, I say to you, anyone who does this, they'll have whatever they say. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. And Satan's objective is for you not to connect the dots with what you say and what's happening in your life. Amen? Because then you'll keep on. You know the Bible says? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. How many don't want to know what the Bible says? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says that by your words, you're going to be justified, and by your words, you're going to be condemned. Amen? The Bible says that your whole course of life is set by what you say. And you can argue all you want. This is true. You know what? How did you get saved? See, it's interesting how many people will argue this point, but you can't even come into the family of God. Can I show you it? Look at Romans. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 6. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness of faith, what does the righteousness of faith do? Come on, here's the answer. What does it do? It speaks. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. And it's going to tell you in a minute what it says. But then it's going to say, you know what? What it doesn't say. it does not say in its heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. What's the writer saying here? Here's what he's saying. Remember when Jesus spoke? Oh, here it is. When he spoke, remember when they had that big storm? How did Jesus fix the storm? Do you know the story? You know what he did? He spoke. He said, "Peace, be still." See, supernatural, overriding the natural. But here's what I want to get to. When he was done and everybody's all happy, Jesus isn't like, "Oh, guys, I'm sorry. I blew it. I was sleeping." Blah, blah, blah. You know what he does? He gets in the apostles' face. Why is he getting on them? You know what he says? He says, "Where was your faith?" What's he saying? Hey, that's what the writer of Romans is saying here. Why are you trying to get God to do all this stuff? This faith, the righteousness, it speaks. Now, I'm going to show you how you got saved. You guys ready for this? Next verse, look what it says. But what does it say? We know what it doesn't say, but what does it say? The word is near you in your what? In your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. Next verse. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Do you see this two-part aspect of walking in the supernatural? Faith speaks and faith believes. Everybody say, faith speaks and faith believes. And when you speak and when you believe, that's when you're going to see things get done. And even salvation is mapped out exactly like I just said it. You don't believe me? Here, let me give you another scripture on this. Look at the next verse. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? How salvation come? With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, this is imperative that we walk in the understanding that Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, Peter, anyone who speaks to the mountain, anyone who speaks to the mountain, anyone who speaks to the mountain." Number three, you can speak to inanimate objects. How do you say it? I can write it, I just can't say it. Inanimate. Okay, you guys say it together. One, two, three. Inanimate. Oh, I thought you guys wouldn't get it. You got to get better than I did. Okay, anyway. What's he doing? He's speaking. He's saying you can speak to a mountain. In another place, you know what he says? He says, Luke chapter 17, verse 6. Well, look what he says here. Look what he says here. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can what? Say to what? Mulberry tree. He speaks to a storm. He's saying you can speak to a mountain. He's saying you can speak to a mulberry tree. And in his own case, he spoke to a fig tree. Are you catching this? What's he doing? And what the fig tree do? The fig tree did what he said it was going to do. What's happening? The spirit overriding the natural. See, you think you don't have the solution to the problem. I just gave you the solution to your problem. Amen? You pastor, what, you know what? What about your foot? What about my foot? I was a dork. You know what? And I got up and I hit, you know what, into the furniture. And when I looked, you know what? I didn't know this. I was all happy when it wasn't bloody. How many know bloody's better than going the wrong way? Amen. And I looked at it and all the other toes were going the right way. And then one toe was going the wrong way. And I said, oh, man. I said, Pastor, what'd you do? I straightened it out. Amen. It actually didn't hurt very much. I don't know why, but it didn't. But what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know what? I've got opportunity just like you've got opportunity. So, Pastor, what do? I speak to it, and I say, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Why? Because that's what God said. I'm speaking to it. I'm speaking to it. And let me tell you what. This thing is almost done. Amen. Amen. Well, yeah, you're going, that's, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. I ain't saying that. Amen. You can say that, but I ain't saying that. Yeah, but the doctor knows. Well, what about Dr. Jesus? Amen. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? Jesus speaks to a fig tree and it happens. And then Jesus says, you can speak to stuff too. He speaks to a storm and it happens. He speaks, remember this? He speaks to a dead guy once. Do you remember this? Jesus, we can't roll away this man. This guy's been dead for 4 days. He's gonna stink. The supernatural is superior to the natural. I told you this was going to be a whopper today. Did I not tell you that? That's why I started. Pastor George, that's why I started with Hosea. Because you know what? You can do whatever you want. You can shake your head and go, I don't believe. That's crazy. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. And I'm telling you, I'm showing you over here. I'm showing you over there. Jesus, this is how Jesus lived. This is how he walked. This is how he functioned. And this is how Jesus says you are to function. Now, why in the world are we not functioning that way? Here's why. Because we think we're smarter than God. We get too dignified to speak to a mountain. You know what? We allow somebody else on the radio to talk us out of what Jesus said. Amen. I'm going to tell you why. I'm not letting no pastor talking me out of what Jesus said. I don't care if they're on the radio, TV. I don't care if they have a In-N-Out hat on. It doesn't make any difference to me. Amen? It don't make no difference to me. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? He speaks to dead people. He speaks to sick people. You know what? He speaks to, you know what, trees. He speaks to storms. And guess what? The supernatural is superior to the natural. But he's got to use his words just like you've got to use his your words. And Jesus doesn't say to Peter, hey, Peter, you know what? This works for me, but you all jacked up. Just try to figure it out. I hope you have some dynamite. How many know they didn't have dynamite? You know, I was watching Gunsmoke. Wasn't I? I was watching Gunsmoke, and you know what? And they put dynamite. They dug a little hole, put dynamite, light the dynamite, and run, and let that dynamite explode that tree. How now? You got something more powerful than dynamite? Can you say amen? But you're looking and saying, I don't know about all this. Jesus said it. Amen. Faith, number four, faith will almost always put you in a position of ridicule, particularly by the well-educated. Faith will almost always put you to be ridiculed, particularly by the well-educated. Now, I'm not ripping on education per se. I'm not saying you say, yeah, but Pastor, I've got my bachelor's, I've got my master's, I've got my PhD. Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. All I'm pointing out to you is there's a tendency. Everybody say a tendency. How many know Pastor Paul has a tendency to bump his head? You don't know who Pastor Paul is? He's one of our pastors here. He's 6'11". How many know he's got a tendency to bump his head? That doesn't mean he has to bump his head. It just means he has to recognize he's got a tendency to bump his head. He's just got to recognize there's some things he's got to lean under. Amen? What am I saying? Maybe you have your PhD. Maybe you've gone to college. Just recognize, because here's why. Because the educated are educated in natural things. And so what they have a tendency to do is tell you about the natural, tell you about the natural, tell you about the natural. And matter of fact, nowadays, these educated ones are cynical about anything that's spiritual, particularly anything that's Christian. I'm just telling you the truth. And so you listen to that and listen to that and listen to that, and all of a sudden you think, listen, we have to be cognizant of it. Remember when this happened to Jesus? There was a guy, and his daughter was dying to the point of death. Remember this guy? And he comes to Jesus. He says, Jesus, come on over to my house. My daughter is dying to the point of death. That's right. Come on. And Jesus says, I'll come. But in that process, Jesus got derailed a little bit, and he didn't. The woman, the issue of blood, came and he dealt with her. In that time, they come to the father and they say, "Don't bother him anymore. Your daughter is already dead." Now, here's what I want you to catch. You say, "What did Jesus do?" Here's what he did. He said, "You guys, you ain't going with me." And he looked at the father and he said, "Don't doubt, only believe." Amen. So you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have opportunities today, and you're going to hear the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of this message, and you're going to say, you know what? And you're going to say, you know, you're going to hear God say, "Why don't you speak to that sickness? Why don't you profess and claim that by Jesus' stripes you're healed? Why don't you speak to your marriage? Instead of talking about how awful your marriage is, how, you know what, how crazy your spouse is, you know what I mean? How, you know what, all this. Why don't you start to bless your marriage? Why don't you start to speak life over your marriage? Why don't you say, you know what, my wife is the best wife in the world. My husband is the best husband in the world." Come on, somebody say amen to this. I told you to think that last week, ladies, it's just good for you. You know what? I told you this last week. I'm going to tell you it again. What is The Rock's name? What was his name? Dwayne Johnson. Come on, ladies. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know what? And I'm telling you, your husband comes in and you need to say, "Dwayne Johnson? Heh." You need to go up to your husband and just smack him right on the lips. Big, juicy, wet kiss. Amen? Can you say wet kiss in church? Well, apparently you can, because I just did. Amen? Here's what I'm saying. That Jesus understands what's going on. And in the middle of this mess, he says, you, you ain't going, because here's what I don't need. I don't need, you know what, you reminding this man who I've already told, looked him in the face and said, "Don't doubt, only believe." I don't need him hearing a bunch of junk. You guys are staying. We're going alone. And then when he gets to the house, what happens when he gets to the house? This young lady, 12 years old. 12 years old. She's dead. And they're out there crying, she's dead. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, see, when we want to get all intellectual, you know what I mean? Well, you know what? You calculations, you can't say that. That's when you don't know. Hey, shutteth thou upeth. Amen? You know what? It is always smart to do what Jesus says. And Jesus says that anyone can speak to this mountain. That's what he says. So he tells them, hey, let me tell you what's going on. What's going on, she's not dead, she's just sleeping. And here's what the Bible says. The King James says, they ridiculed him to scorn. I think the King James says, they laughed at him. And they're going to laugh at you. But let me tell you what, who cares? Do you want your problems or do you want to have a supernatural answer to your problems? You know what he tells them? He says, hey, guys, she's not dead. She's only sleeping. Now, see, you and I can say, that's not true. You know, it's so funny. We can, We can lie all over the place. How many know we lie all over the place? See, so nobody wants to raise their hand. There you go. You're lying right now. Just joking with you. Okay. So, but how many know we can stretch some stuff? Can we not? Can we stretch some stuff? See, I still can't have anybody to tell the truth. We can stretch some stuff. But all of a sudden, when it comes to certain stuff, we say, no, 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 we can't say that. You have to say the truth. You'd be smart to shutteth your moutheth in a lot of situations. You know what? Just beeth thou real quieteth. Why? Because with your mouth, what you're doing is you're cursing yourself, and you're cursing your family, and you're cursing your marriage. Amen? 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 You know, maybe you're not the smartest. Maybe you're not the smartest pencil in the drawer. Amen? Hello, somebody? Nobody wants to say yes to that. Maybe you're not. But you know the Bible says, let the weak say. Oh, what? Okay. Oh, no, no, that's just the Bible. I'm just quoting you the Bible. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. You can do with it what you want. You can reject the knowledge if you want. But I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to know what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to my mountains, be removed, cast into the sea. I'm not getting down in my heart. Let me what I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to see, you're going to see those mountains removed in my life. And when you see them removed in your life, then you're going to go, maybe this does work. Maybe Jesus was right. Are you catching this? Jesus says, you guys get out. I want to hear your yada, yada, yada. Let me tell you what. Is there a higher degree of truth than just what you see? That's exactly what Jesus was seeing and rectifying and saying. Are you catching this? Are you catching this? See, people will mock you. I don't care if they mock me. They're going to mock me and my foot is healed. And they're going to mock me, you know what? And, I say all kinds of things. But I've learned I can't walk that way. I'm not called to be natural. I've called to be supernatural. And the supernatural reality comes as you say stuff out of your mouth. That's how Jesus did. That's how God did. That's what he does. He calls the things that are not as though they were. That's what he does. You know the Bible says? The Bible says that God resists the proud. This is good. Yeah, I'm thinking of it. I don't know where it is yet. I'm thinking where it is. It's Well, you guys can hardly wait, huh? Oh, yeah. You remember what? Here, just tell me this. What kept the Israelites out of the promised land? Do you know what kept the Israelites out of the promised land? You know what it was? They saw these giants. They went out. Remember this? He takes, and listen to me. Don't think you are too spiritual not to be caught by this. Because Moses picked 12. He picked the 12. These were the 12 leaders that he picked. He picked 12 of some of his best guys to go spy out the land. They saw the land. You know what? They saw it was flowing with milk and honey. That was a description to say there was a lot of blessings. They even came back with proof. But here's what they saw. They said, you know what? But we can't do it. They said, we can't do it. By that night, the whole Israelites, the whole camp was crying about you can't do it. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of naysayers out there, and you better be watching that you not listen to them. Because they'll tell you you can't all day long. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They'll tell you you can't all day long. Man. Oh, thank you. They'll say it all day long. My feet are killing me. My back is killing me. My throat is killing me. My knees are killing me. Oh, I'm so thirsty. I'm dying for a drink. I'm dying to get in there. I'm dying to get out of there. I'm dying to get on the plane. Wow, that's a dumb thing to say, is it not? I'm dying to get on the plane. I'm dying to get off the plane. We probably won't get the car. We probably won't get the house. I probably won't get the job. I can't lose weight. I can't remember names. I can't remember like I used to. I know I'm going to catch that. You know it's going around. I know. I know I'm going to lose that. I always lose things. You know, if it's not this, it's something else. I bet we will miss out on the sale. By the time we get there, there's probably going to be nothing left. Yada, 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 yada. See, and watch this. It's, matter of fact, we function in this. We know it functions. We know it's true. What is this law called? What's the law called? Murphy's what? Murphy's Law. It happens. You know it happens. You're just used to functioning in this in the negative. And it happens all the time. And you speak that stuff out of your mouth, and this stuff just keeps on happening. And every time you speak it out of the mouth, and then it verifies, you see, it always goes wrong for me. That always happens. I never, you know, yada, yada, yada. Well, listen, maybe you ought to pay attention to what you're saying. Maybe that's why Ephesians says, oh, another scripture. Maybe that's why Ephesians says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. You think that's just coincidence that that's there? No, God's trying to teach you this all the time. Amen. God's trying to teach this to us all the time. Remember the man and his, I think it was his servant, was sick. Remember this? And Jesus starts coming to his house, and he catches him before he's at his house. And here's what the guy says, and I'm paraphrasing, but here's what he says. He says, Jesus, you don't even have to come to my house. You only have to speak a word. That's all you have to do. And Jesus, you know what, stops there and says, oh my goodness, I've never even seen this. What's he saying? He's saying, let me tell you what. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I understand how words work. I understand it in the natural. I say to one, go, and he goes. I understand how this stuff works. I say to one, go, he goes, and he goes. I say to one, come, and he comes. You don't have to go over to my house. All you have to do is speak a word. You know what he's saying? I understand how words work. You don't have to come. All you have to do is speak a word. And it's interesting because in that story, Jesus doesn't ridicule him. Jesus holds him up as an example to us to say, let me tell you what, that's the man. That's a paraphrase, but that's a good paraphrase. That's the man right there. I've been around a lot of people. They don't understand what this guy understands. Are you catching this? See, I'm asking. Can we recognize that we are shooting ourselves in our feet? The Bible says, from your mouth shouldn't come blessings and cursings. Shouldn't be that way. You know what I want to do? I want to speak to my mouths. I'm not saying I don't have problems, but what I'm saying is my problems don't have to stay my problems. Amen? Because I believe Jesus. I believe that I can be one of the any ones who speaks to my mountain, and that's what I'm speaking. The situation in my life, I'm going to speak it. I'm going to speak healing to my life. I'm going to speak health to my family. I'm going to speak, you know what, love to my marriage. I'm going to speak blessings over my finance. I'm going to speak blessings over my city. I'm going to speak, before we get done, I'm going to speak over you. Amen. Because you know what I believe? I believe that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I believe, you know what? That Jesus confirms it. James confirms it. You know what? Paul confirms it. It is just throughout the Bible. And you know what I want to do? I'll stop with this. But listen to this story. Jesus says that blessed are those who are not offended. It's interesting. Well, I tried to make a real quick move there and forgot that I had this going on. You know what Jesus said? Guys in the back, try to turn to John 15:17. Look what he says here, John 15:17. Look what he says. Okay, that's not what I wanted. That's a good verse, though. I'll just quote it to you. Jesus says, if you abide in me, but then he says this, and my words abide in you. Oh, what was I off? Oh, 17. Man, I did that last week. Okay. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done. You know, it trips me out that people mock this because it's so prevalent in the New Testament. So prevalent in the New Testament. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. Here, watch this, watch this, watch this. This is so awesome. You know what he says after this? Now watch this, watch this, watch what he says after this. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Man, God wants you to start to speak to the mountain because their mountains are keeping you are in the way of doing what God has called you to do. So he wants you to start to speak to those mountains. You know what? Get his words in you. Then what's going to happen? You know what? God's going to be glorified. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to bear much fruit. Do you see that? That's the truth. That's what God wants of us. That's what I want to do. I want to bear much fruit. I want to bear much fruit. I do not. Blessed is the one who is not offended. Blessed is not, blessed is the man who's not offended. Why, how were they offended? They were offended what he was saying. I'm not offended what God says. Amen. I said, I'm not offended what God says. If Jesus says, speak to the mountain, I'm not offended. I'm speaking to the mountain. And listen, I love you, but I don't care if you laugh at me. I'm not living my life according to you. Amen. Why? Because that I need to get out of the natural. I need to get in the supernatural. Okay. Who's got a problem in their life? Raise your hand if you have a problem in your life. Okay. Who's got the answer to the problem of your life? I hope you got the other hand up, because Jesus just told you the answer to the problem. You speak to that mountain. Stop doubting in your heart. Just go for it. Amen. What's one of the things that we doubt in our heart? You know what's one of the things that we doubt in our heart? That we can speak to the mountain. Is that not right? No, I'm not gonna doubt in my heart anymore. I'm just gonna speak to my mountains. Amen. I'm gonna speak to storms. I'm gonna speak to trees. I'm gonna speak to problems. I'm gonna speak to the natural, because the supernatural is superior to the natural. Amen. Amen, amen. I actually, Tamara, come on up here. I got one more thing to say. You know what? God says, my words, this is what he says in the Word of God. My words are not, I can't, it won't, I'm sick, I'm weak. You know what? You've got to live to learn with, you got to learn to live with this. You know what? Stop listening to what your friend says. Stop listening to what your cousin says. Stop listening to what your neighbor says. You know what? God says some things. Let me tell you what God says. God says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God says, by his stripes you were healed. God says, mercy, goodness and mercy, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all your days of life. God says, weeping may last for the night, but the joy comes in the morning. And these are just some. And God says, with God, all things are possible.
I want to, will you put the 15:7 back up there, how we, the one we were looking for, is that, yeah. I want to just share with you, I one time was taught this, I've been taught this just like you're being taught it right now, and then I have a choice to either receive what I had been taught or to reject what I've been taught, just like you have that same thing. One of the things here, as God is pressing us to teach this to you, whether or not you walk in it is up to you, because only you can decide for you. Does that make sense? I can't decide for you. So you're either going to receive it or you're going to reject it. You have the benefit in the fact that at one point in time, as I was taught this and Pastor Drew, we received it. And so the word is that much closer to you in a reality, because we're going to have some examples that I'm going to talk about. For instance, you've heard about the chairs. Those chairs are speaking and believing that you're sitting in. Those chairs, you know what? It was miraculous that God moved and that we got those chairs. I want to share another one with you. Some of these you know, some of them you don't. But as you hear my testimony of what God has done, see, then you know, that's why we come to church on Sunday and Wednesday. It's so important that we know God's word. You're going to see in my testimonies that I don't just know God's word, but that I'm a doer of God's word. See, we got to put this whole thing together, all right? This is not a magic lamp. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the Holy Spirit abiding in you and leading you and teaching you and guiding you. So important. This comes from a relationship. So this one here, we came to the church, how long ago, honey? 19 years ago. And when we came to this church 19 years ago, the church did not look like the church that you see today. We had pews They were like a teal green pews, and the cushion, there was no cushion. It didn't feel good. The cushion had seen its days. People had sat on those pews for many, many years, and they were not comfortable to sit on anymore. And then the facility, and some of you saw this in Discover Hope, and some of you haven't, but the doors were so rotted, they were like barely hanging on the hinges, barely. These doors were just decayed. Most of the faucets in this facility, this is a big facility, and most of the faucets in the facility, if you maybe one side would come on, but the other side wouldn't. And so the church had been here for a long time, and the church was in decline for a long time. They had a heyday, but then they got into a decline, and it just kept on declining, okay? So we come along, and the facility needs a lot of finances to fix it up. We don't have finances. You know what? They were thinking, he came on part-time, and they were thinking of actually closing the doors and selling the property. And so just the fact that you're able to sit here today is faith, that heard what God said, believed what he said, and then obeyed him and came in spite of what it saw. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. Nobody in the natural... A matter of fact, many people in the natural told us, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you going there? Why aren't you taking that full-time job? Why are you doing that? Well, one reason why, because God said to come here. The Holy Spirit said to come here. But you really couldn't come here unless you had faith in you, and God had put faith in us for years. We were taught by many people about faith. Well, now it's time to take what you know and rock and roll. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. So now God is saying, go. Thank God we knew that God, we had been taught by so many people that God was a God who would provide. If he's called you to something, he's going to be the provision for that. And so we came here. And one day I was walking across the lawn there, And the Lord told me to write a letter, go across the street and see if they give donations. That's what he told me. Go to Home Depot and ask if they give donations. So I did. And they said, yes, we do, but we don't give to churches. The Lord said, write a letter and, you know, ask for a donation. So I wrote the letter, and I gave the letter over there for donation. Then we got a phone call one day, and this girl called me in. She was the manager over there, and she said, we usually don't give to churches, but since you guys are right here in our community, I do like to support things that are right local in the community, so I'm going to give you, you know, something each month, just a little bit. And I said, okay, well, thank you. So she gave me two faucets one month. She called me over there. I went over there. She said, you got $200. What do you want? So I picked two faucets. And so we picked up the faucets, we came over here, they were sitting somewhere to be put in, and then the next thing that happened is I was waking up in the morning, and the Holy Spirit said, you need to go into Home Depot and thank them for the faucets. Well, Pastor Drew was heading out the door, and I said, you know, the Holy Spirit just said that we need to go over there and thank that lady for the faucets. He said, yeah, I was going to do that. He told me that too. I said, okay. So he's going to go over there and thank her for the faucets. So he goes in there to thank her for the faucets. And he said, can I talk to the manager? And they said, okay, yeah, she'll be down, but it's going to be a while. So he was standing there, you know, waiting, and they were busy. And as he's waiting, he thinks to himself, actually, I could just call her. I'm just going to take off, you know what I mean, because I got lots of things to do. So I'm going to take off, and I'll call her later, and I'll just thank her. Holy Spirit said, no, you're going to stay right here. Do you see the relationship in all this? Do you see it's not a magic lamp? Okay. So Holy Spirit says, no, stay right there. So he's staying right there. And she finally comes down, and she says, Pastor, what can I do for you? And then he said, I just came over to thank you. And then she said, oh, okay, but you know what, Pastor, what do you need? And he says, no, I don't need anything. I just came in to thank you. And she says, no, Pastor, what do you need? And so he's thinking, okay, she's not hearing. She thinks I came in here to get some more stuff is what he was thinking. You know what I mean? She thinks I came in here to ask her again for something else. And he said, no, you don't understand. I didn't come in for anything. I just came in to thank you for the faucets that you gave us. And she said, no, you don't understand, Pastor. She said, today is my year end. And if I've got donation money that if I don't get rid of it today, then I won't get it in my budget next year. And I've been on the phone all day long trying to reach someone who's a nonprofit to come and to spend this money for me. And I can't reach anyone. So what do you need? And he's like, oh, okay, let me call my wife. So he called me up, and I came down, and within hours, we had a cart all loaded up, and we brought that stuff over here. I don't remember numbers good. Pastor says it's around $1,700 worth of stuff. So we got that $1,700 worth of stuff. We have the picture of this. We put it all over the stage over in the North Sanctuary, and we talked about how God is your provider, and he will provide. So then she said to me, she said, you know, as you know, we don't get to churches, but you know what? I do want to give you something every month. And I said, well, thank you. You know what I mean? So she said, every month you can come in, and every month I'll have a little something for you. I said, okay. So every month that was going on, she gave me about $200 each time. And so we were very grateful. We were getting all the stuff to make the church look like it looks today. So we're picking all this stuff up, and one day I was in there, and see, two things had happened in that moment. Not only did we get blessed, you know what, with all that donation money that she had to get rid of, right? Not only did that happen, but the other thing that happened is I realized, wow, I'm getting $200 a month, but that's a lot of money. I mean, there's a lot. That was just what was left. So I'm thinking, how much money do they, you know what, give to you know, organizations, you know, in donation? I don't know. But then I got to thinking, well, gosh, Lord, I was there one day, and there was someone else picking up some donation stuff. And here's what I learned in another day when I was there getting my $200, that there was someone there, and they were picking up a bunch of stuff. It was a frat house thing. You know what I mean? They were buying all this stuff, and they were going to build like a luau thing, and they were having a frat party. That's what they were having. And they were donating to that. You know what? And giving them all the stuff so that they could build it all super whoopee, you know what, with, you know, like grass huts and whatever or something, right? So I was like, oh, and that kind of made me sad that day. And it made me sad because we had such a need to try and, you know, clean the place up around here for our community. And then all this donations was going for a frat party that they're going to party, and then they're going to throw this stuff in the trash or something. It's like, oh, it just kind of made me sad. So then I began to, in that sadness, I said, you know, Lord, we're trying to create a place in the community for the teens and for the kids. And you know what I'm saying? That people can come, families, and you know what I'm saying? Ah, isn't this much better? And I said, you know what, Lord, I'm going to begin to believe that we're building your kingdom. I'm going to begin to believe that we will be the number one give from across the street. That no longer will we get, and now why are you doing this, Tamara? I'll tell you why. Because the Bible says I'm the head and not the tail. And I felt like the tail, to be quite honest with you. I was not ungrateful for what she was doing. But when I kind of saw what was going on, I thought, dang, you know what I mean? We're trying to do something, you know, for families in the community. And I just think that's more important. And so I said, Lord, you said I'm the head and not the tail. You said that I'm above and not beneath. You said that you would provide for me that which I need. Well, gosh, guys, we needed doors and faucets and sinks, and this place was old and a mess. And so I began to say, you know what, Father? I thank you that we will be the number one give from across the street, because building your kingdom is far more important than a frat party. So that was just my prayer, and I would just thank God. I would say, Father, thank you that we'll be the number one give. And then Pastor Drew and I, see Pastor Drew, I said, we're going to be the number one give. I go get my $200. I said, but we're going to be the number one give. What am I doing? Faith is speaking. First of all, I believe God's word, what he said. Second of all, I'm going to speak it. And so that's what I did. So then the next thing that happened is I went over there one day to get my $200. And when I walked in, I said, hey, I'm here to see Beatrice. They said, Beatrice is not the manager here anymore. I said, is the new manager here? And they said, yes. And I said, can I talk to the new manager? They said, sure. So this man came down, and he said, hi, I'm Paul. How can I help you? And I said, I'm Tamara. And I said, we have a church right across the street. We're right behind you guys. And Beatrice would, each month in the donation money, she would give us something to help us because we are trying to establish a place in our community where children and youth can come and families and blah, 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 blah. And then he said, oh, and I said, and if you'd like to, I would love to, I'll give you a tour. I'd like to show you what we're doing, but I'm hoping that you'll continue to, you know what, support what we're doing as Beatrice was. And then he said, okay, I'll come over there. And, you know, he wanted the tour. I said, oh, okay. The place was, we were like a construction zone from one end to the next. We were just a mess, you know what I mean? Maybe we had one room done. I said, oh, okay, great. When would you like to do that? He said, how about tomorrow? I said, okay. So I met him, and I brought Pastor Drew, and I said, we're going to take this guy in, and we're going to show him what we're doing. And so we're believing, okay, he's going to stick with us here, and he's going to help us still like Beatrice was helping us. And so we go through the whole church, and we show him what we're doing. We talk to him about the vision, and we end up over in the North Sanctuary. And we're standing right underneath the clock. How many of you remember the clock in the North Sanctuary? So we're standing right there, and I said, so is there any questions I can answer for you? Or, you know what, did you want to know anything else about what we're doing in the organization? And he said, no. He said, you know what, you've told me a lot about you. He said, but now let me tell you something about me. And I said, okay. And he said, I'm a Christian too. And I was like, oh, cool, yeah, good. You know, I got happy. And then he said, when I took this promotion as manager, when they offered it to me, he said, I turned it down. Because I knew that one of the things that I would have to do is distribute the donation money. And I do not believe in a lot of things that they support. And I didn't want to do that. And he said, so I turned it down. But the Lord said, no, you're to take this. And he said, it was a real struggle for me because I did not want to be the one to, if you will, blast these organizations that I didn't believe in what they were doing. And he said, so I went ahead and he said, I took this promotion. And he said, I know that you think that I'm an answer to prayer for you. He said, but let me tell you something. You are an answer to prayer for me. And he said, I have been hoping that some organization would come along that I could sow into for what I believe. And I said, wow. And he said, so yes, come see me, you know, this week. He said, I'm going to take care of you. Now, from that day forward, I don't think there was a month that I didn't go out there with under $2,000 worth of stuff. That's how God was able to renovate this place. So that's one of my stories, that you're able to partake in. You're here. You're sitting in the chairs. You're in the building. You've seen. Same thing, the South Sanctuary was another thing where we just began to, we heard God and then took his word and believed him that we would be able to expand and come down here. So what is your situation? I don't know. Here's what I know. You need to know God's word. Don't alter it. Don't try to naturally comprehend it. It is a supernatural thing. We just got to believe him, take him at his word and believe him, and do what he asks us to do. And we walk this thing out. And from that, we end up with testimonies as we see what God has done. Amen? I want to just, if you've, you know what, as God is just pressing us to be his disciples, you know what, to take his word and to begin to be people of faith and walk this out, you know what? I want you to just respond to it. You know what? To say, you know what? God, I'm hearing you. If that's you, if you say, God, I'm hearing you and I'm feeling the challenge. Like, you know that God is talking to you. You know what? You know that he's pressing you on some things to walk more by faith and to understand. If that's you, I want you to put your hand up. We're going to say, God, we hear you. And we receive. We're not going to reject what you're saying. We're receiving what you're saying. I want you guys to hear what God is doing in your life and then begin to respond. And he will tell you what the next step is, all right? Father, I thank you. You see the hands. You see those of us who are clearly hearing your voice. Father, we hear you and we want to respond. We want to receive the words that you're saying to us, not reject them. We receive them. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is our helper, that he will help us to know what the next step is and how you want us to move and what you want us to do concerning the situations that we bring to you. I thank you for this. I thank you for your faithfulness. You are a faithful, faithful God. And I thank you that you show yourself mighty to each person who moves towards you with faith as you instruct them and they do as you ask them to do. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.